So, Mark, today we're going to be continuing our series on growing in prayer. What is it that you're going to be sharing with us?
Absolutely, yeah. So, we're looking at what it is to grow in prayer, and as part of our series on being rooted and how we stay rooted. Remember those deep roots going down into God, and how we say actually prayer is an important part of that. And we're going to be thinking about how we can be effective in our prayer life, and what that might look like. And there's some great verses in James chapter 5 that you're going to read to us, and then I'm going to unpack them a bit for us.
Fantastic. So let me read then from James chapter 5 from verse 13. Is any one of you in trouble? They should pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? They should call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they've sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers and sisters, if any of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring them back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins.
The intention of this series, Growing in Prayer, isn't to put you and I on a guilt trip that makes us pray more. I don't know about you, but I've sat in enough sermons where people have preached about prayer, and I've ended up feeling very guilty that I don't pray enough. I've come away feeling rubbish about myself, feeling that God doesn't love me enough because I don't pray. Well, the truth is this, that God doesn't love you because you pray a lot. God doesn't love me if I pray a lot. Prayer isn't about forcing God's hand to love us more. He doesn't look at us and go, well, Mark's praying a lot, I'm going to love him more. That isn't what happens. But here's the truth as well. God doesn't love you less if you pray a little. If you're someone who struggles with prayer, if you're someone who wrestles with it and finds it hard, God doesn't love you any less. God's love is perfect and unconditional. He loves us because he loves us because he loves us, whether we pray or not. But here's the biggest truth of all that I think is so important for us as we go through this series. That the more we pray, the more we become aware of his perfect love. The more we pray, the more we encounter God's intense and unending love for you and for me. God loves you. God loves you. And when we pray, we can encounter his love. We step into a deeper relationship with him where we understand more of his love. If you remember a few weeks ago, we shared that picture, Rublev's icon of the Holy Trinity. And we said that prayer is like pulling up a table with the Father, pulling up a chair at the table with the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit, and joining that relationship. When we pray, we become aware of God's perfect love as we join that relationship that he has within himself. This is why prayer is the biggest calling on my life and the biggest calling on your life. Because it helps us to encounter God's perfect and unending love. So as we crack on with this series, as we move forward in this series today and we think about what it is to be effective in prayer, is there information within God's word? Is there things within God's word that can show us how we can pray more effectively so we can deepen our relationship with God more? I think there is, and it's from those verses that Sally read to us in James chapter 5. And there's three things that I want us to look at today that are in those verses. The first thing is the impact of faith on our prayer life. That helps us to be effective. The second thing is the impact of living righteously. That has an impact on our prayer life. And the third thing is the impact of praying earnestly. That helps us have an effective prayer life. So faith, righteousness, and earnest prayer. So let's look at the first one of these. No, we are to pray with faith if we want to have an effective prayer life. But it says there, doesn't it, in verse 15 of James chapter 5, that the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. Now the context here that James is writing about is when we're unwell, we're to ask the elders of the church to pray for us. To say, come over and pray for us, come and pray and anoint us with oil. And it says there that the prayer offered in faith by the elder, by the leader of the church, will make the sick person well. Listen, I believe that. I believe that when the elders of the church pray for the sick, that people will be healed. If I'm honest, I don't see enough of it. I don't have the opportunity to pray for enough people to be made well. And also, I don't see enough people becoming well when I pray for them. But I still believe it to be true. So just as an aside, as I start, it's just to say that if you're unwell, please ask us as the leaders of the church to come and pray for you. Contact the church office, contact me, contact one of the leaders of the church. Say, look, I'm not well, would you come and pray for me? I love praying for sick people to be well. I know our elders do as well. We'd love to collect stories of doing that so we can share them as people become well. But there's a general truth here as well. The prayer offered in faith for the sick will make them well. But there's a general truth here that faith involved in any sort of prayer is important. That faith has an effect on making our prayers effective. So here's a question. How do we know if we're praying in faith? If a faithful prayer is effective, how do I know that I'm praying in faith? Here's two things that help us to pray in faith. And the first one is this, that we know that we're praying faithfully because we state at the start that Jesus has the authority. I love praying this way. If I'm praying for a situation or a person, to start off by saying, God, as I pray for this person, as I pray for this situation, I believe, Jesus, that you have authority in this situation. Whether it's praying for someone to be healed, whether it's praying for someone's job situation or someone's finances, someone's relationship, whether we're praying for someone's children or their grandchildren, if we're praying for a situation that looks impossible, to start off by saying, Jesus, I believe that you have the authority in this situation, is a statement of faith. Now, Jesus says in Matthew 28, verse 18, at the end of Matthew's Gospel, he says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. All authority. What does all authority include? Everything. It includes everything. Jesus says that he has authority in all situations. And so we can pray in faith and have effective prayers by saying we believe that to be true. We pray in faith. We state that Jesus has the authority. We also know that we're praying in faith when we're bold and we're confident. Now, this isn't about being loud or being brash and having the loudest, shoutiest prayers out there. Being bold and confident is praying with a knowledge that Jesus' death, that his resurrection has allowed us and has given each one of us access to the Father. Jesus' work on the cross means that you and I can stand, as it says in Hebrews, in the holiest place, in front of Father God, and we can ask him to hear our prayers. You know, we run the Alpha course here at our church, and we're running it at the moment. And there's a great video from the Alpha course that just illustrates how you and I, as children of God, have authority to stand in front of the Father.
A young soldier fighting for the Union Army in the American Civil War lost both his father and his brother in the fighting. He needed to return to his family's home and help his sister and elderly mother with the spring planting on their farm. And so he went to Washington, D.C. to ask the president for exemption from military service. When he arrived in Washington, he walked straight up to the doors of the White House and asked to speak directly with the president. A young official standing guard told him, "You can't see the president. The president's far too busy to see you. Get back out there and fight like you're supposed to." So the young soldier left the White House, not knowing how he would break the bad news to his family. As he was sitting on a nearby park bench, a young boy came up to him and said, "Why are you so unhappy? What's wrong?" The soldier looked at the boy and began to pour out his heart. He told the child that since his father and brother had been killed, he was the only man left in his family. He was desperately needed back at the farm, and the only person who could make it possible was the president himself. The little boy said simply, "Come with me." Taking him by the hand, the boy led the soldier back around to the White House. They walked through the back door, past the guards, past the generals, past the high-ranking government officials, until they got to the president's office. The little boy didn't even knock on the door. He just opened it and walked in. There, standing behind the desk, studying battle plans with the Secretary of State, was President Abraham Lincoln. The president looked up and said, "Oh, what can I do for you, Tad?" The little boy replied, "Dad, this man needs to talk to you."
I love that video. Isn't it great that the son can just walk past all those guards, all those officials, and go straight and stand in front of his father, who's Abraham Lincoln, the president, most powerful man in the world at that time. Well, you and I can do the same when we pray, and that's praying in faith. That we can, without hesitation, walk straight up to God, come into God's presence, and we can say to him, "God, would you move in this situation?" That's effective prayer. So effective prayers are prayed with faith, that Jesus has the authority for what we're praying for. And also we can be bold and we can be confident. We can ask. The second thing that makes our prayers effective is that we pray with our hearts set on God. I'll explain what I mean by that. But it says here, doesn't it, in James 5 verse 16, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. I wonder, what do you think it means to be righteous? If those are the effective prayers, what does it mean to be a righteous man, a righteous woman? Well, do you know, in Christ, if we're followers of Jesus, if we're believers in him, if he's part of our lives, then in Christ, you and I are righteous. Because what's true of Jesus is true of you and I too. And being righteous means to be absolutely right with God, to be found not guilty, to be found absolutely pure and spotless. Now that is who Jesus is. And in Christ, as we accept him into our lives, that is the situation that you and I find ourselves in as well. That we are right. We're guilt-free. So that's our spiritual status in Christ. But being righteous means living that out as well. It doesn't mean that we just stay safe in that knowledge that we're right. That we choose to live it out as well in our thoughts and our words and our deeds. So the prayers of a man or a woman whose thoughts and words and deeds are right with God are effective. That's what James is saying here. I love this explanation of what a righteous person is. It says a righteous person has their heart set on God, looking to obey Jesus, seeking to walk with a godly character and lifestyle. That's a righteous person. Well, wow, no challenge there then. I suspect that we're all there, aren't we? We've all got that sorted. We've all got, we're all walking in a godly character and lifestyle. I'd love to say that's the case for me. It's not always the case. But let me encourage you. because it's the setting of our hearts on God that is key here. Listen, we all miss the mark. The Bible tells us that none of us lives the right lifestyle. None of us lives up to the plan and the purposes that God has for us. We all miss the mark. None of us are righteous because of the things we do. But it's having our hearts set on him that's important. Having that intention within us when we say, God, I am looking for you. I'm looking to live my life only for you. That's what's important. Yeah, we're going to wrestle with areas of our lives, but ultimately it's our heart that says, this is how I'm trying to live. I often think about it this way. If ever you've gone down to the supermarket, and you've gone down to Aldi's in Walton or Tesco's over in Clacton, and you've got one of their trolleys from the trolley park. I don't know about you, but I put my pound in, I free my trolley, I start moving it down the aisle, and 9 times out of 10, I always happen to pick the trolley that's got wonky wheels. That's got the wheels that are turning the wrong way. So I spend half my time going round Aldi's or going round Tesco's, wrestling it back into a straight line. I'm kind of heading in the right direction, but there's a bit of wrestling along the way. You know, I often think about that. I think about my own life. Maybe that's helpful for you as well. That I'm heading in the right direction. My heart is on God. I want to head in the right direction. But sometimes there's a wrestle to get my lifestyle back in line. Now, I think that's helpful, thinking about what it means to live righteously. That our hearts need to be set on God. We need to be heading down the aisle in the right direction. Yeah, that might be a little bit of wrestling. But our hearts, our minds are set on him. This is what God's looking for when we pray. Are our hearts for him? Are our hearts for the things that he is for? Do we love justice? Do we love mercy? Are we thinking of others before ourselves? Are we chasing after the things of his kingdom? Or when we pray, are we standing like that and going, well, God, do you know what? I know you're for those things, but I'm not. A righteous person has their heart set on God. Yeah, we're going to fall short, but there's grace. There's grace. So the prayers here, where James says the prayers of a righteous person are effective. The prayers of the righteous include the prayers of the weak and the imperfect. And the people that are wrestling their lives in order. Those are the prayers of the righteous people. There's a big dollop of God's grace here that I'm so grateful for. But God's grace isn't an excuse for disobedience. It doesn't mean that I can go, well, that's great. God's going to forgive me. God's going to love me, whatever I do. So I can do what I want and come and apologize to him. God's looking for those who live righteously, who are choosing to live in agreement with his priorities and with his heart. And that's the basis for effective prayer. You know, I wonder whether you and I need to take some time to think about that today. Is your heart set on God? Is my heart set on God? Are there some things in my life that I need to cut off that aren't great? Some things that I need to give up, some attitudes maybe, some thoughts I have about people, some things that I'm involved with, so that I can say, yeah, my heart is set on you, God. I'm 100% for you. Last week, Sally used Psalm 27, which was so helpful. And you know, there's a couple of verses in Psalm 27 that I think capture what it means to have a heart that's set on God, that is trying to live righteously. And you know, David, who wrote Psalm 27, he had his ups and downs. He was a man who was wrestling the trolley of his heart, if you like, down the aisle, who kept kind of going left and right, but had a heart. The Bible tells us that David had a heart that was after God. And David writes these words. He says, hear my voice when I call, Lord. Saying, hear my voice when I pray. In other words, I want my prayer to be effective, God. And then he says, look, be merciful to me and answer me. In other words, David knows that he's not perfect. He knows that he's weak. He knows that he gets things wrong. He's saying, forgive me, Lord. Be merciful. Answer me. But look at what he says here. This is how we know that David was righteous. He says, my heart says of you, seek his face. My face, Lord, your face, Lord, I will seek. This is the prayer of a righteous man. He knows that he needs God's forgiveness. He knows that he needs God's grace. But his heart is set on God. If we want our prayer life to be effective, we need to be in this place too, where we say sorry to God. Yeah, I know I get things wrong. But God, I'm training myself, if you like. I'm training myself to seek you and you only. Effective prayers are prayed in faith. Effective prayers are prayed when our hearts are set on God. And just finally, effective prayers are prayed when we know the importance of being earnest. Now, this isn't about Oscar Wilde's play. But this is about effective prayers of being earnest. It says here in James chapter 5, it says this about Elijah. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. And it goes on to say that he then prayed, and it did start raining again. Now, James here is using the example of Elijah to show us that an effective prayer must be earnest. And it says there that Elijah prayed earnestly. So what can we learn from this? Well, you know, the first thing I want to say is that earnest prayers are focused on God. When we pray earnestly, and this means that we're praying kind of with a focus, when we're praying with hearts that are after God's. They're focused on God. They're not going through the motions. We're not praying by heart or by rote. But earnest prayers are focused on God, a deep and heartfelt relationship with Him. But earnest prayers are also persistent as well. We see this here, don't we, that Elijah prays persistently. In fact, the Greek word here that is translated as earnest or earnestly is better translated as that Elijah prayed with prayer. So Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed with prayer. What's being given to us there is that he prayed persistently. He prayed and he prayed and he prayed and he prayed. I love that. I wish they'd kept that in the original. He prayed and he prayed and he prayed and he prayed. There's a persistence to Elijah's prayer. He wanted to show the people in the land that they relied on God. That it wasn't their own talents that were farming the land and growing the crops. He wanted to show them they needed to rely on God for rain. And so he prayed and he prayed and he prayed. For how long? For a long time. He probably went on for those 3.5 years. You know, Jesus taught parables about this kind of persistent prayer. And his message was that we need to pray with persistence. And as we do that the Father answers our prayers. Jesus at another time says, ask and seek and knock. Ask and seek and knock when you pray. Those words are written in the present continuous. In other words, keep on asking when you pray. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Now, effective prayers have this persistence to them. There's a call here to have persistent and persevering prayers as well. I wonder whether part of your growing in prayer in this season is to know what it is to persist and persevere with prayer. I suspect that a lot of us watching this today have been praying for certain situations for years to change, for God to intervene in a certain year. And we faced disappointment after disappointment where we felt that God hasn't answered our prayers. I want to promise you today that God hears your prayers. He hears our prayers. And I want to call you to persist and to persevere. I know that might be difficult. I know that might be tiring. I know that might have led to disappointments in the past, but effective prayer, we're shown here, is persistent and it perseveres. I want to encourage you, don't give up. Keep praying. Grow in your prayer life in that way. effective prayers, according to these verses in James chapter 5, are prayed in faith with our hearts set on God. And they are persistent because we choose to persevere and to keep going and to keep asking and to keep seeking and to keep knocking. There's a human side to effective prayer, isn't it, that we've looked at today. The things that perhaps we can do as we pray. And I'd love to encourage you to go and put these things into practice from here on. Give them a go this week. But let's in that not forget the divine side of effective prayer. The part that God plays in effective prayer. You see, we can have as much faith as we want. We can have our hearts set on God as much as we want. And we can be persistent and we can persevere. But let's not forget that it's Jesus' work on the cross that ultimately makes our prayers effective. It's his power that is released in his death, his burial and his resurrection that breathes life into us. That allows us that access to the Father. That means we can stand in front of Father God. And it breathes life into our prayers. And it drives us to pray. And it makes our prayers effective. It's nothing without Jesus and his work in our lives. And as we do that, and as we recognise Jesus' work there, that's where we encounter his fantastic, unending, intense love for each one of us as we pray. So let's do that now. We're going to use this song to help us to respond with God. It's a great song. It talks about the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. And I'd love to encourage you to use this and to use this as worship. And perhaps just ask God to help you to be a woman, to help you to be a man who prays these effective prayers. Ask him to increase your faith. Ask him to help you to have your heart set.